I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Sherry Parker Lewis. I'm the senior pastor. This is Susan Snow, who is our musician. And we also have a lot of worship leaders today. So I'm going to just let you know that Aiden Carmack and Kayla Everett, who are confirmands, you're going to meet all of them. They will be helping us with the beginning of worship. Alex Setti will be bringing the congregational prayer that he has written. Ryan Eaton will be reading scripture, and Teddy Drabing will be bringing our offertory prayer. In addition, Jonas Cook and Amanda Whitley will be our acolytes. So all of these our confirmands, you know, have an opportunity to meet them and know a little bit more about them as the service goes on.
Please be seated. The journey of faith is a journey through life. We are pilgrims, travelers, making our way. We hold out our hands to the next generation of faithful and ask them to join us on the journey. We will walk together, sharing our stories, listening to one another, learning from Jesus. In this place and along our local faith, all are welcome. Come, Holy Spirit, work within us and between us as we worship this morning. Let our songs and our prayers set our minds and hearts on you. Equip us here and send us out to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Welcome. It is a pleasure to be worshiping together with you. Brighton First is a church where we work to know God, love God, and serve God. Please pass the clipboards in the seats so we can get to know each other a little better. Brighton First has a prayer team, and we would love to lift your prayers to God before God. Please communicate your prayer concerns using the cards in the pew racks. And now I'm going to talk about the sale of Seve's salsa and breakfast burritos. All the money will be going to the youth going on a mission trip in July to Appalachia. The salsa is a donation of $5, and the burritos are a $2 donation. Please take a moment to greet one another in the love of Christ.
Hello, I am Alex Setti. I am one of the confirmands here today, and I was asked by Mrs. Combs and Alyssa to write a prayer for today. So I had all week to do it, and all week I thought about it, and this kept on popping into my hand. What is the definition of prayer? I asked myself throughout the week. Over the span of time, the definitions changed as I thought about it. My first response was, something I need to do more. Then I thought, it needs to be more serious. So I thought, what is prayer really? So I pondered and I questioned myself. Finally, I came up with this. What is prayer? Prayer is when we lift our hopes, dreams, worries, and what other things we think about unto God. So let us pray. Dear God, I pray for the people suffering in the world, and they may find solace in you. There are attacks daily committed upon your beliefs. Shield us from those atrocities, and help us to become more like you. Forgive them their sin. Please bring wisdom unto the leaders of the world. May they find world peace. I pray for the community. I pray we may come together and help each other to achieve our full potential. I pray for the thriving church community. We may be strong in our faith and not waver. May those who are hurting find recompense in your love, O Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you show us your love to each confirmand here and help them stay on the path in adversity. Lead the charge to change for the better. Let us become better than we are, and with God's grace, might, and love, we may become better Christians. Now, may we pray together silently. Now, will you join me in the prayer that our Lord taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will then obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make a home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not from my own. They belong to my Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Ryan. Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So imagine it's the last night before Jesus goes to his death. And he's gathered with his disciples in an upper room, and he has just a few short hours to let them know a little bit more of his wisdom, a little bit more of his love. And so he speaks some last words. The words that Ryan read are just a small section from the chapter of John 14, but from chapter 14 all the way through chapter 17 has traditionally been called the farewell discourse of Jesus. Jesus gives directions to his disciples all through there, and then in John 17 offers this wonderful prayer for the people who will follow him. And so Jesus offers words. Now, I decided that what I want to do is just to take this small section that comes from toward the end of chapter 14 and give you a few things that Jesus had to say. And confirmands, this is kind of with you in mind, that I want to let you know what Jesus said. And maybe the reason that I called it last words is that some people have this notion that once you're confirmed, you've graduated from church. And so I wanted to let you know the power that Jesus has and gives to the body, the body of Christ, the church. And so here's the background. It says in the beginning of our scripture reading that Jesus replied. He was replying to a disciple, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but another Judas. He was replying to the question, how are you going to reveal yourself if we're the only ones who see you? And what Jesus was saying, or what Judas was asking was, if there aren't miracles, if there aren't wondrous signs, how are we going to know that Jesus is alive? And Jesus' reply has three different things that he says. The first one is that he will come and dwell with the people. He'll dwell in us. And so basically, if you want to see Jesus, you look to the people who have claimed Jesus on their hearts. And in our understanding as Christians, that's the body of Christ. That's the church. And so what we understand is that when the body gets together, it is a place of love, and it's in the church and with the people of the church that we can actually see Jesus. Now, for you guys, you may be fortunate enough to have claimed this church, and this church will be yours for a long, long time. For some of you, though, as you go away to school and choose where you live, there will be other churches that you will find, and they will not always be like this one. Some of them will have pews, and some won't. You may choose to worship in a church that's in someone's house. You may choose to worship in a very large space with a band and lights. You may choose to worship in a place where there's very little talking and only silence in prayer. There are all kinds of ways we worship. And you're going to have the opportunity in every one of those places to find God's love present. Now, I know that churches aren't perfect. Not even this church is perfect. It's true. But it is the closest thing we have to experiencing the body of Christ. We use a fancy word, incarnation. What it means is that Christ is embodied in the love of the church. And as you take vows to be members of this church, you also become examples of that love that reaches out to people. There are a couple other things in here that I want to talk about. So another thing that Jesus says is that he will send a counselor, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything that Jesus has taught. Now, it would be so cool if the Holy Spirit would come to us and we would just have super knowledge. So, like, if there was any Bible quiz, we would win hands down because we'd be full of knowledge. But that isn't the kind of reminder that the Holy Spirit brings. What we're told is that the Holy Spirit will remind us of Jesus' presence and will remind us of what's important about that, the bigger truths, that we are creations of God, beloved by God, every single one of us, no matter where we've been or what we're doing. We will be reminded that God not only desires to be in relationship with us, but pursues us, and here's an old-fashioned word that means to kind of draw us closer, woos us to him by the Holy Spirit. And there's one other thing that this passage tells us. In the end, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." In the Old Testament, the word peace is used as a gesture of farewell. So you're saying goodbye to someone, and you say, "Peace, go in peace." This isn't what Jesus meant here, and this is actually the only place in the Gospel of John where the word peace is used. What he's doing is he's offering a gift. He's offering a legacy. It's a kind of peace, he says, that passes understanding. It's not going to be like a peace in this world where all war ceases and all strife ends and all of the worries go out of our hearts. But the peace that Jesus offers us is one that'll keep us safe and keep us solid even in the worst of times, even in the best of times. How do I know? Well, one, because I've lived. But the other is, he says at the end, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid." There is so much to be troubled about through life. And sometimes there are reasons to be afraid. But Jesus says, "I give you this gift. It is a peace." And here is the amazing thing, that Jesus has been present since he ascended into heaven in powerful ways, because the church doesn't quit. The church comes in all kinds of forms and has changed over the centuries. But year after year, generation after generation, we hand down the legacy of Jesus in our love for one another, by the power of the Holy Spirit who helps us to remember, and by this gift of peace. My prayer for you seven, is that not only you might continue to experience the love of the church, but that you might be the love of Christ for the church in the years ahead. And I have to tell you one more thing. I'm going to come down here and just tell you this thing. And guys, just hang with me here. When you guys come up, I'm gonna put my hand on your head, and I want to tell you what I'm remembering. I'm remembering my baptism and my confirmation. I was in the Episcopal Church, and this bishop came. I didn't know. And he put his hands on my head, and I just remember that little church and all the people around me. The next time I had hands on my head was when I was ordained, and Bishop Donald Ott put his hands on my head, and he said, "Take authority, you know, as a pastor." But I'll tell you the thing that I remember the most about both of those times is the community of faith and the loved ones that surrounded me. So here's my plan. When you guys come up, I'm going to press on your head. Okay, I'm just warning you. I'm going to give it some weight. And the reason that I'm going to do that is not so you'll remember the vows word for word, or that you'll remember all the things that you've learned in confirmation class, but that you will remember in that weight on your head, the weight of all of these people pressing down, saying, "You are a beloved creation of God. You have been raised in this community of love, and now you get to join us in offering love to other people." I invite you to pray with me. Lord, we ask that we might be, to the best of our abilities, a church of love, that we might embody you so that you're shown. And Lord, we ask that you might empower these confirmands to be powerfully your gift of love to others. Help them to remember this day and the love that's present by you in their family, their friends, and this group of people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to introduce Alyssa Tumalo. She is our youth director.
Good morning. This morning, we want to take a minute and recognize someone who has been the leader of confirmation classes for many years. Our beloved Carolyn Combs will be stepping down from leading confirmation to spend some well-deserved time camping, visiting with family, and relaxing. Carolyn, you have impacted the lives of so many of our youth as they start out on their faith journey. Your reach extends far beyond those who are in this room, and we can never thank you enough for all that you have done and continue to do. Thank you for being our support, our leader, and our friend. The confirmation classes will continue successfully because of all the hard work you have done. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. The youth, staff, parents, and congregation members wanted to give you a small token of our appreciation for that all you have done. Take this on the road with you this summer and know that you are surrounded by our prayers, love, and admiration. Thank you. So, as I said before, I'm Alyssa Tumalo. I'm the director of youth ministries, and I'm a confirmation leader. This is Chris Atarian. He is also a confirmation leader. Carolyn Combs and Duke Kelly. They all teach confirmation along with the clergy. Our confirmation group this year was energetic, fun, eager to share, and loved games. And I don't mean just the confirmands, the mentors too. Did I mention that they were competitive? Because they were very competitive. We would review United Methodist and Bible teachings, and everyone would be looking up answers, sharing their thoughts, all to get the answers correct and correct. And they would challenge each other. We learn together in fun and at more serious times too. Part of confirmation is to volunteer or to do mission work. And as I read the confirmation youth names, I will tell you a little bit about each one. By taking or reaffirming our baptismal vows, we declare that God's grace is working in this world in our lives. This morning, these young people affirm their faith in Jesus Christ and their commitment to living out God's reign in the world. First up is Jonas Cook. He went to St. Andrew's Church in Ann Arbor to serve breakfast. Jonas spent a Saturday at Cass Community in Detroit. Most of the day, he was spent cleaning the flower beds and in front of Cass Community UMC. He is an active part of youth group. He helps students at Scranton Middle School in a program called WEB, Where Everyone Belongs. Jonas is a Boy Scout and helped out with a metal drive and also Gleaners Food Bank in Livingston County. Amanda Whitley, she enjoys helping at the Fish and Loaves, which is a community dinner that is held at our church. For the past 2 years, Amanda and her family tend to the garden spot at Brighton First. Amanda recently did a science project for Science Night at First Steps Preschool, which is a part of our church. She also provided activities for First Step Preschool students when the parents were listening to speakers on technology. Amanda is part of DMM, which is a dance, to raise money for cancer support and research. She was an assistant with an early acrobatic class at Ginny's Dance Work. Kayla Everett is also an active part of our youth group. Kayla participated in the 30-hour famine, where the youth did not eat for 30 hours while doing mission work within our community. This is a way to create awareness of hunger around the world. In March, Kayla and her family, plus six others from Brighton First, spent 3 days at the Henderson Settlement in Kentucky. While there, she hammered, sawed, and completed a building on the settlement. This is Kayla's third trip to the Henderson Settlement. She has attended Judson Collins Church Camp, located in Irish Hills. Kayla helps with Vacation Bible School. She's a Cromaine Library in Heartland. She volunteers there. And this summer, Kayla will be going on her first youth ASP trip. Aiden Carmack has helped with Fish and Loaves, a community dinner that is held at different churches within Livingston County. Aiden helped this year at our Easter egg hunt in Brighton First, and he helps students with math and science at Heartland Middle School. Theodore Teddy Draving is a part of our youth group. Teddy, with his family and others, served breakfast at St. Andrew's Church in Ann Arbor. He has helped with Vacation Bible School. Teddy also helps students at school with math and Spanish. Ryan Eaton went to St. Andrew's Church in Ann Arbor to serve breakfast. Ryan collected canned goods for the Lions Club, and he is also a Boy Scout and helped with the pancake breakfast and medal drive at St. Patrick's Catholic Church. David Alexander Setti, Alex. Alex is a part of our youth group. He and other youth went on a shopping trip to shop for foster families. Alex packed and loaded several hundred lunches for the NOAA project. He hid Easter eggs for the hunt held at Brighton First. Alex is a part of an acolyte team for Sunday mornings. And this July, Alex will be going to ASP, and he ushered at Brighton First to bring the group together in faith and helped with raising funds for the trip. Welcome to our confirmands.
And so I would like to invite Loretta forward. Loretta's a deacon on staff here, and Bob, on behalf of the congregation, and we have some questions for you and for the congregation. And so for confirmands, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
And I have these questions for the congregation gathered here this morning. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these people, young people, now before you in your care?
And with God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness,
that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others.
We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
And I would ask those gathered here and our confirmands and leaders to join in the reciting the profession of faith as contained in the Old and New Scriptures. It is the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Confirmands, as you've been told, you'll also become full members of this congregation today, and so I have a couple of questions for you on behalf of this congregation. According to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives to the world? If so, answer, I will. As members of the United Methodist Church in this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will.
We're going to take this opportunity now to bless again these youth as they were blessed at their baptism. As each one comes forward to the kneeler, they will be joined by their parents and by a mentor who joined them. But I would also like to invite two other people forward who will be part of this blessing, Dr. Vern and Agnes Hoschel. I invite you forward, and as they come, I tell you this story. It was 1966, and Dr. Hoschel was drafted and was being sent to Vietnam in the Medical Corps. He had to decide, and his wife as well, how they would care for their family here in Brighton. And they made the decision that to be cared for, they needed to be in a community of love. And so, this month, 50 years ago, they became members of this church. So we celebrate their anniversary. And they have agreed to be part of this confirmation, bestowing a blessing on those who are now new members. So we're going to crowd in here, teachers, and all of us are going to get around here, and we're going to have, you guys know your order. So whoever's going to come up first, who's it going to be? Okay, Jonas. So I invite the parents to come forward, and mentor, you go ahead and kneel. And you're just going to have to trust. There are going to be a lot of hands, heavy hands on people. So go ahead and let's put our hands on Jonas. All of you, come on in. Jonas Avery, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the water and spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you come around here. The stoles that the youth have, they have created themselves, and they contain symbols of their faith. You can ask them about those after the service. Go ahead and kneel. I'd like to invite Amanda's parents up and her mentor and her brother. Wonderful. Thank you, Jack. Let's lay hands on Amanda here. Amanda Nicole, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that by the water and the Spirit you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite Kayla's parents forward and her mentor. Kayla Denise, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Aiden's parents and his mentor. Let's lay hands on Aiden. Aiden Francis, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Teddy's parents would come up and his mentor. Let's lay hands on Teddy. Theodore Rex, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ryan, for Ryan's parents to come forward, his mentor. Thank you, Ryan. Let's place our hands on Ryan. Ryan James, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Invite Alex's parents and his mentor up. Let's lay hands on Alex. Here they come. Oh, they're coming. Here they are. I was going to say, wow. Let's lay hands on Alex. Oh, I'm so glad you're here, Matthew. David Alexander, remember your baptism and be thankful. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's welcome these brothers and sisters in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith and confirm them in hope and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of our church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now I invite you to celebrate these youth. They will be out in the community room for you to welcome and to ask hard questions of, because they know the answers right now. And in the meantime, I'd like to invite the ushers forward for our tithes and offerings.
Let us pray.
Loving God, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to bring the peace of Christ. Fill our hearts with your peace, accept these offerings as a sign of our trust in you, and help us to show your goodness to the world around us through our church's ministries. Amen.